This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What should you do here? What should you do trade deadline tomorrow? I think this is actually the time to think big picture here.
Okay.
And folks, chime in if you wish. 216-474-0092. And I don't like to think this way about things too often, but I think this is necessary here. You tell me if you agree with this or not.
Okay.
First thing that needs to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
The Haslams need to know, is Andrew Berry my general manager moving forward? And is Kevin Stefanski my coach? And I know they both received contract extensions. You're 2-7. It's the National Football League, and things happen fast. Has any doubt crept into your mind about Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski if you're Jimmy and Dee Haslam, J.W. Johnson,
if
the
I'm
ownership
them?
Group?
Are they
your guys still?
All right. Well, I think part of that question is who pulled the trigger on Deshaun Watson? Because the ripple effect is brutal, especially even if you're trying to make a move right now. And it has to do with, you know, cap space, and it has to do with luxury tax, and it has to do with all of these things that are going on, all because they thought one player was the answer, and he turned out not to be. So if the Haslams believe that's on them, then I would 100% stick with what I have. If they believe the ultimate reason that he's here is because of them, then I don't know why you would change.
And if they were convinced to make the deal and give the contract to Deshaun Watson by somebody in the front office or in,
you gotta
in their
believe
management
one of three
team.
People thought it was a great idea. If it wasn't Jimmy Haslam, one of three people thought it was a great idea. Kevin Stefanski, who I don't think wields that much power,
I agree
to bring
you.
Him in at that point.
I agree with you.
So
on that.
Now you're talking about Andrew Berry or
Paul DePodesta. Or the Haslams.
So and one of those three ultimately had to put their, you know, stand up on the table and go, we have got to get this deal done.
I think you just absolutely nailed it. I think that's the most critical thing here. Whoever, if the Haslams insisted on the Deshaun Watson deal, well, then they're stuck. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't hold that against Andrew Berry. You can't hold it against DePodesta. You can't hold it against Kevin Stefanski. If anybody else other than the Haslams insisted on the Deshaun Watson trade, you're moving on from that person. And maybe now. I mean, maybe here during the bye week. You know, and I don't know who it was. They know who it was. If it happened to be Andrew Berry, Andy, mm-hmm. Do you want Andrew making trades at the trade deadline? I honestly think this is really big picture stuff. And I think Andrew Berry's done an okay job as general manager. I think he's made some nice trades. I think some of his free agent signings have been good. But remember, in the NFL, most free agent signings are Band-Aids. They're Band-Aids who might perform pretty well and last a couple of years. But most free agent signings in the NFL are Band-Aids. And I don't think his draft record is very good. So they need to decide that. Is he your guy? Is Kevin Stefanski your guy? And I think that sets the tone for the trade deadline and the rest of this year. Now, the trade deadline's tomorrow. I would, at 2-7, if I'm Andrew Berry, and let's just assume he's going to be here, and I do assume he's going to be here, and he's going to be the guy making these trades. At 2-7, anybody who is not in your plans for next year, who you think, yeah, we're going to move on from them for next year, and we're going to do that in the offseason. Well, if you can do it before 4 o'clock tomorrow, I would do it now. Anybody who you don't think is in your plan for next year. That includes Jameis Winston. That includes Elijah Moore. I don't know if these guys are in their plans or not. If they think Jameis is coming back, then I'm not going to trade him. If you think Elijah Moore is a guy you want to keep, then I'm not going to trade him. But if you don't think these guys are in your plans, Andy, I would move on. And I would try to get as much as I can, either in player who I like. You can always trade player for player. Because, you know, they seem to have a better record in picking up players who have played in the league and have accomplished something than they do in drafting guys.
They are. I agree with that. Yeah.
So I don't mind a player for player trade. If you're going to get draft choices, get draft choices. Anybody not in the plan for next year, fine. Here's one other thing that I would add to this.
Can I? Okay, go ahead.
I'm looking big picture here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Haslams think Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are seeing their contracts through, you know, they signed the big extensions and, mm-hmm. and they don't plan to make any moves. If a guy is not in your plans next season, you know, I mean, you could trade a guy with another year to go on his contract if you think you can get a big return for him.
Right.
I'm open to just about anything here because this is a 2-7 team. And it looks like it needs some help. So I don't think they'll make huge deals. I don't think they'll make a ton of deals. But I'll tell you what, I think anybody's fair game.
I don't know that everybody's fair game. I think there are contract restrictions on a lot of these guys because of what we're looking at, because of the
Agreed.
Implications on Deshaun. Well, like, I don't see them. I cannot see them trading Myles Garrett. Like, I don't think there's any way.
I would hate that.
There's all kinds of implications based on his contract.
Exactly.
And so it's really difficult. So now you're asking yourself, who are you going to trade? And you're looking at guys that are their contracts are up.
Mike Florio
so
wrote a story.
One-year deal. But here's my point on this whole thing.
David Njoku be involved? And I thought, oh, my God, really?
What's the Njoku have left on his deal then?
Not sure.
Okay, I'll look that up.
I saw Florio wrote that, and I just thought, oh, my goodness.
I'm looking at, you know, what they have in the future, and you tell me if they have enough draft picks, Jeff, because when you go into 2025, you know, you picked up a third rounder. So you have your first, your second, two-thirds, a fourth. You do not have – and this is interesting. You don't have a fifth rounder – because of the trade for Za'Darius Smith. So if you went out and got a fifth rounder for him, would that make you feel better?
I would think.
Equity-wise, does that make you feel better?
I would think you get about a fifth rounder for Za'Darius.
Okay, so then it's a wash.
If they can turn it into anything more,
right?
Fine.
If they can get a fifth rounder for him, I guess it's time spent, right?
Sure.
At least that's what the judge would tell me. Well, all right, we'll consider time spent. Sixth round next year, they have their pick, plus they also have the Chris Williams pick, so they'll get that, and they also have, so they have three picks in the sixth round.
Great.
So, and then in the seventh round, they have one pick.
Just stop.
I'm just telling you what they have, Jeff. That's why I'm not thrilled about picking up picks.
Andy, we're going to get into this next segment. I'll tell you why we're not thrilled at picking up picks. John's in Cleveland. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
You know, I called Carmen last week and said all this, and they, like, laughed me off the air. Oh, you're crazy. And then today's show, that's all it was about.
Whose show? You know, not ours.
No. Oh. It was Ken. But,
oh, all right.
You know, we are the next 2 years. It's going to be bad, 76 and $78 million. But somehow next year is a $100 million cap hit for Deshaun. I don't know how that works.
Because they pushed all the money down the road? That's why.
Yeah, and then right. And then even a veteran quarterback, you're looking at 27 million. So right there, and then if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're locked up 130, 140 in quarterbacks. I would trade every single piece. I wouldn't trade JOK, but I would trade anybody. and people are worth more at the deadline.
Can like, you trade somebody who's on the IR even? I don't even know if you can.
Oh, sure.
You can? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think – I think Smith, we can get a lot more from just a second round. They're like – in their eyes, they're one piece away.
No, John, that, like, you know what?
Look, Chubb,
did you see what Deontay Johnson brought the Panthers? They sent Deontay Johnson in a seventh to the Ravens for a sixth. I mean, trades are silly in the NFL. That's why I'd try and trade for young players if you're going to move anybody. I don't know.
I would just trade for asses, and then hopefully you don't have Barry picking them. I still like Stefanski. I still like him, but I like him more calling plays. But here's what I'm saying about Chubb. There was a big rumor about him retiring after this year. Mm-hmm. The Browns know if that's true, and Chubb knows. But I would go to Chubb and say, look, do you want us to trade you to a contender?
I agree with you. I said this to a couple people yesterday. I just don't see Nick doing it. I don't think they want to trade him, that's for sure.
And here's the other thing. I love Nick Chubb. I think he's terrific. You do too. Injury-free, he's got a Hall of Fame career, I think. But you're not going to get anything for Nick right now. You've got a running back who's come back from a major knee situation and hasn't shown that he's healthy enough to help a contender right now. Let's just be fair and honest about that. I hope Nick finds it again. And behind that, maybe it's behind this line, maybe it's in this offense, whatever. He hasn't shown that he's ready to contribute to a contender yet. Here's the issue coming up, and John just touched on it. Do you want Andrew Berry making these picks? If you're trading for draft picks, does that really do you any good? If you're trading viable NFL talent for draft picks, I don't think the draft record of this front office gets you all giddy about that. And I know Andrew Berry's been hindered by no first-round draft choices the last 3 years and no second-round draft choices in two of the last three drafts. But I took a little look at this, and I give me your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Out of this year's draft class so far.
Okay.
Okay, this year's draft class.
Just Browns, right? Is that what
we're just Browns.
Okay.
Nobody's made an impact. There have been no impactful players yet. Keyword is yet. Michael Hall, Zach Zinter, Jamari Thrash, Nathaniel Watson, Miles Harden, Briggs.
They've had opportunity. They just haven't made an impact. How's
right.
that sound?
Well, opportunity doesn't mean squat if you don't make an impact with it, I don't think, personally. In the 2023 class, so last year, seven picks, I think three guys have been okay. Cedric Tillman looks like he's on his way. DeJuan Jones looks like, I think DeJuan could be really good, but he's not there yet. And Cameron Mitchell. So that's three of seven picks. The other four, not so much. In 2022, you had nine picks. I think you missed on about six of them. It just it doesn't seem to be working. All right? I think Martin Emerson, pretty good player, third round pick. Alex Wright, I think he looks like a pretty good player. And Jerome Ford. Jerome's serviceable for a fifth round pick. You've done just fine. David Bell, Perrion Winfrey, Cade York, Michael Woods, Isaiah Thomas, Dawson Deaton. No impact. They keep bringing in guys who don't seem to click. And I wonder why. In 2021, they had eight guys who they drafted. They nailed two of them. Whether you like him long-term or not, Greg Newsom can play in the league. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, arguably the best draft choice that this front office has made. Second round, you traded up to get him. After that, Anthony Schwartz, James Hudson, who's been serviceable, Tommy Togiai, Tony Field.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fields, who's been serviceable? Richard LeCount, Dimitri Felton. you're missing guys like crazy. You're just not hitting picks. And the first draft that this crew has had, Jed Wills can play in the league. You might not like him, but he can play. Grant Delpit, I like him. Jordan Elliott, Jacob Phillips, Harrison Bryant, he can play, but Nick Harris, who you gave up on, then brought back Donovan Peoples-Jones. Our organization has not hit on these drafts under Andrew Berry. And so that makes me think about the trade deadline. All right, well, what are you going to do with them? Honestly, Andy, I think it's 37 picks. They've drafted 37 guys. How many of them have been absolute hits? And I don't mean like star Pro Bowl players, but hits. Greg Newsom.
Yeah.
JOK.
Yeah.
MJ Emerson, even though he's had a rougher year.
Yeah.
And Grant Delpit. I think those guys, yep, absolutely. They can play. And then I think there are some others.
Tillman is emerging, but that's
I couldn't
it.
Agree with you more.
He's emerging.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There are a couple of other guys who I think, yeah, there's still a good chance here. I think Tillman looks great, but it's been three games. DeJuan Jones, yeah. I love him long term. Cameron Mitchell, I think Alex Wright might be pretty good. But overall, this crew has not drafted real well. And that pains me. Now, again, you haven't had first rounders for the last three, and you've not had second rounders in two of the last three. But this is where it goes back to our first point in the show. The Haslams need to know, is this guy our GM moving forward? Is Kevin going to be our coach?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they've got
Are they
that
a feeling. Package deal, Andy?
I don't know.
The Haslams need to make some two big decisions here.
I wonder, like, people who are so passionate about Kevin Stefanski one way or like, I don't have that. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good play caller. I think the way he's handled the transition to give up play calling has been pretty rock solid. He didn't get too high last week.
Didn't work
when
yesterday,
they won, and he didn't get too low yesterday. Yeah. Although everything's on me, right? Everybody wants to say everything's on me. Everything's on me. And I've said it 1,000 times. Eventually, it is going to be on you, and you're going to be looking for work.
Yeah. Alan sent me an email today, and he said, you know, Kevin always says it's on him. Never bashes his players.
Never.
Maybe it's time to say we just got our butts kicked.
Well, that's
and,
okay.
And the, players still got, not... and the players got their butts kicked.
Who's the scapegoat, then? Who's it going to be?
I don't know. Here's the
I really feel like it's going to be Ken Dorsey.
Here's the other decision that's interesting. Let's get into that in a second. Here's the other decision I think the Haslams need to make. They need to decide, okay, do we like Andrew and Kevin enough that we can think that 2-7 and a season that is toast for the big picture is a blip on the radar screen? Do you think they can think we have the right guys?
You can.
And 2-7 is a blip on the radar screen.
You can if you've lost complete faith in Deshaun. It's the only way you can do that. You have to. You're basically blaming everything on Deshaun. Everything. If you can do that and walk away
or the decision to bring him in.
Well, it's one. I actually think it's more about the play on the field than it is about the decision at that point too.
Although it cost you three picks, and more. Three first rounds.
I still feel like when you go back to that moment when they decided he had told the team no, and you say to yourself, why didn't we just listen? He said he didn't want to come here. Why did we chase after him? Why were we mad
say
at
that,
Baker?
Say that again.
Why did
he
we...
He said he didn't want to be here.
He said he didn't want to play here. Yeah. And that's okay. I didn't have a problem with that.
First team
did
out
you?
Of the finalists. No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem. He didn't want to play here. I was like, okay, I get it. I don't...
Here's the decision then. Then who said, all right, let's make it worth his while?
I think Baker forced their hand. I think they got so upset with Baker because Baker said, well, you want somebody else? Go get somebody else. I'm done with you.
I want traded.
I mean, you
not,
think about
not that Baker was the answer because I don't think he's one of the top, you know, as I mentioned, elite guys in the league. But I don't think there are that many elite guys
I
in the league.
I think so. The front office or the Haslams felt like they got stood up, like they, you know, they were all set to go on the date and the date never happened. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh,
been there,
I've got my old girlfriend, and maybe I can go out with my old girlfriend again. Oh, I don't think so. So that's where that whole thing kind of played out. I really think that it was. I'm going to say it. Deshaun was an impulse buy because Baker had said we're done. He had to have been. He told them no. He said, I don't want to come to Cleveland.
Either that, Andy, or they thought that he was the guy and it didn't really matter what Baker said and they were going to come back at him anyway.
But they wanted to talk to Baker after he said no.
Well, I don't. That's
they wanted
great.
To go back after Baker after they
said that's great. Working out great for Baker now, but you know his team's not knocking on the Super Bowl door.
I don't know. I feel like the team went on a bender for a weekend and all of a sudden we're still paying for it right now. It's where you're at. It was a bad weekend.
Went on a bender for a weekend, huh?
And they woke up, and the next thing you know, they're trying to figure out why Zach Galifianakis has a baby around the front of him, right? That's what it felt like. Because this is the ultimate hangover.
Lewis is in Shaker. Lewis, you got about 45 seconds.
Hey, Lewis.
And that's all I'm going to need. Deshaun Watson, it's a moot point. Baker went much better. The season is done. We are horrible. It's only one thing left to do, which will make me feel better. Beat Pittsburgh. I don't care what else you do. You can lose the rest of the games. Beat Pittsburgh twice, and I'll be ecstatic. That's all we need to do now. That's it.
All right, Lewis.
He's right. I thought the same thing. I'm like, what are they playing for now? What's this roster going to look like after tomorrow at 5? And what are they playing for? And I thought the same thing. You know what's going to be crazy? Watch they roll off, I don't know, 5 wins out of the last 8. And it will be like.
So much for that high draft choice.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I hope they don't play.
Which I think is better anyway.
I hope they don't play.
If you can win football games, go win football games.
Go win.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.